Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, squad mates. Thank you for listening to the Multiplayer Gaming Podcast. If you are new around here, we are three dads who are lifelong gamers, and we release episodes on Mondays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. On Thursdays like today, we break down recent gaming news. Please make sure to follow our podcast, rate us 5 stars, and leave a written review. Also, if you like our show and want even more than 3 episodes weekly, we do have a Patreon page, and supporters get a bonus Squadcast episode twice a month on Tuesdays, which are a lot of fun. If you want to check that out, go on over to multiplayersquad.com. My name is Paul, and I am joined here, as always, by my two friends and co-workers. Coming up first, he's trying to hunt down all the Genmat in town, so that way he can level up the Chimera Project in hopes of finding a cure to save all humanity from genetic corruption. It's Josh.
Just call me the custodian, baby.
The custodian. All right, and then with me and Josh, you can find him eating at establishments like Crispy Fried Chicken, drinking some delicious Loca-Cola, and looking for meds at the local BVS pharmacy. It's Michael.
You can also see me taking 3 seconds to loot every single thing while I hold down the F button. Every single thing.
Oh, so many cars to loot. All right. This was a great week for news, guys. We had a lot of stuff here to cover. We even chopped some stuff that I feel like we would normally talk about. We got a lot of awesome footage of some upcoming games, although I do think probably the biggest news of the week is a little bit of a downer. Star Wars Jedi Survivor was scheduled for release here pretty soon. It ended up being pushed back a few weeks. Fellas, we now have to wait until April 29th to get our hands on Jedi Survivor.
I was ready to see the bearded Cal Kestis right away, but I can wait for it to be done right. You know, like, it's not...
He's letting the beard grow longer.
Yeah, that's what it was. Is they're like, you know what? We're in the intermediate phase right now. We need to let it grow. Yeah. Just another 6 weeks, it'll be perfect. We can just blend it and shave it then. So, interesting delay, though, because this actually puts it 2 weeks before Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, which, as you know, don't go into that range because that game is probably going to beat anything that you throw at it. So, at least they get 2 weeks to succeed before that game comes out.
Yeah.
I would just like to say, guys, I have an announcement. I am officially cured. I am cured.
Oh, cured.
When I see a game delay, I do not have any, like, I have no semblance of upsetness anymore.
Yeah.
I really don't. I used to get so mad about game delays, and I'm very much looking forward to this game. I think, you know, the first one was one of those way underappreciated games. Everybody that played it was like, dude, this game is great. I went back and started playing it again in preparation for this one. And then they said, hey, we're delaying it. And there was zero anger on my behalf. Like, honestly, it was just like, hey, you know what? Okay, I'm fine with that. If you guys need more time, you need more time. I just want a good game. And like, legitimately, I feel like I need like a little chip or something that says, like, you know, I've now gone, like, you know, 4 months without getting upset about a game delay.
Yeah,
because I just don't anymore. And that, I like, I think that's a good thing. If they need time for this game, take the time that you need.
Do you think that it's really about taking time for the game, or do you believe some of the internet rumors that maybe they're putting it out because that happens to be the exact same week that The Mandalorian season 3 will probably conclude based on like 9 episodes?
I mean, I always think there's some sort of motive thing that comes into play too. Like, you know, do they need more time to polish it? Maybe. Is there, hey, this is actually a better release date for us because it coincides with this. It's 2 weeks before Tears of the Kingdom releases, so most people will buy this game and play it and beat it, you know, before that one comes out, so that won't interrupt our sales or anything. I mean, I think all that stuff comes into play. But, you know, as long as they preface it by like, we just need to polish the game, even if it's a lie, it makes me feel better.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, the only thing that it didn't make me mad, but I was like, we had such a good schedule for the first half of games to cover, and we knew exactly what games were going to release when. But we even said when we made it, like, at least two of these games are going to get pushed back, and here it's going to be Jedi Survivor. So, you know, we're still going to deep dive it. We're going to jump into it as soon as we can. We'll have a podcast for it, and we'll get into all things Jedi Survivor. But this week, we also have some fantastic news about a game that's not quite as well known as Star Wars Jedi, but Meet Your Maker, I think all three of us have it as one of those games that's really flying under the radar, and it could end up being one of these surprise hits of the year. Josh, for anyone out there who maybe doesn't remember Meet Your Maker by name, do you want to remind them which one this is?
So Meet Your Maker was a game that you had found, Paul, that I knew nothing about. I don't even remember how you found that, to be honest. But
I don't remember.
Yeah, basically, you found this game, and it's a game that says, hey, you get to build a base that people can raid. And that's one of our favorite things to do in Rust, you know, or any game like that. If you play Ark, you can raid people's bases, you know, stuff like that. So you build this base that you are trying to make it as difficult to raid as possible. You get minions, you get traps, you get all these building blocks and things like that to do with what you wish. That is like half of the game. And then the other half of the game is you get to go and raid other people's bases to try to get the genetic material that is at the heart of the base. That's the goal. Now, if somebody raids your base and gets your genetic material, there's no punishment. That's fine. Like, great. You know, the cool thing is, and I cannot wait for this, is that if somebody tries to raid your base and they fail, you get to watch the video replay of them failing.
Yes.
Yep.
Which I can tell you, because I got to play this game today for probably a good 30 to 45 minutes. I cannot wait until I have somebody that tries to raid my base that fails. You know, the beta for this game, spoiler, this is what Paul was getting to, is that the beta is out. If you're listening to this, the beta is available for you to play. It is free to join. It's an open beta. It's on Steam. Just look, Meet Your Maker, and you'll see it right there.
Do it quick, because it's almost done, actually.
It's only the last week, right? February.
Oh.
I think it's all of
It runs through February 13th.
Okay,
so you'll still have a few days left, but you'll still want to jump in sooner than later.
Right. And so that is the story here. Sorry, Paul, I don't mean to steal your thunder,
but you got
me started on this, is that you can play this game. And so I was able to hop in this morning. Paul, you were the one that figured out, because technically the beta doesn't start till February 6th. Well, today is February 5th. And you went, hey guys.
I just looked it up and it said download, and I just started playing, and I was like, guys, I'm still in the tutorial, but I think you can just play it.
Yeah. Oh, you can. 'Cause I got to play for a little while. And this, I like what I see so far. Now, it's very early and I only have 30 to 45 minutes of playtime, but the raiding the base part is interesting. You use weapons, you have to watch out for traps, and you're trying to find the genetic material, and you will die. So that part is really neat. The base building part is what I wanted to see, because I'm terrible at building bases. And so I got into that part. You actually have to raid probably four or five bases before it even lets you try to build one. But what I did find out, and I was telling you guys this, is that the building in this game is very akin to Minecraft.
Which is so interesting.
Which I think is going to honestly really benefit a lot of people. You place blocks, you can kind of fly around if you're in Minecraft creative mode. You have a plethora of different blocks and styles you can pick from. So you can kind of do all that. You place traps where you think the traps make sense. You have a certain number of blocks that you can place. So each block counts as one. And then traps can count anywhere from like 10 to 50 or something like that. Minions get, you know, 50 or whatever, depending on how strong they are. And so the beginning base I had a maximum of 750 assets that I could place. And so it doesn't let you just go insanely ham on everything, but that's a beginner base. As you level up and you purchase more land to build these bases on, you can purchase better land that allows you to build a bigger base at the same time. And so while I am terrible at base building, I built this base. It's got traps. I want one of you guys to try to raid it. Like, this is the draw of the game to me, right? Is it's like, hey, I built this. How bad is it? Is it going to kill you? Ha ha, I got you, Michael, you know? And then it's like, yes. I think that's part of the joy in this game, is just seeing like what you create. Like, how does it affect other people? You know, I, and one of the neat things, we talked about this too, is that when you build your base, you have to meet certain requirements. You can't block the path for people to get to your genetic material. You have to have a certain number of defenses and so forth. And then you can try out your own base, which is funny because I tried out my own base. I wanted to see, and I know exactly where I placed all the traps and I still died.
Yes. You will be the first. You'll be the first base that I raid for sure. I'm going to do it today.
And you're excited about this game, right, Michael? I feel like you've been pretty hyped on this one, too.
Instantly, once you shared that article a few months ago, it was right up my alley. I love building. I'm a builder in almost every game that's survival. I'm always that guy that's like, hey, guys, can I build? Yes, we'll put it together. But the cool thing is this article that came out in PC Gamer also included a few more things about the game. And what I've kind of acknowledged in my mind is the game is looking exactly how it looked in my imagination. Like, I love the way progression works off of how people rate your base. So if you have a hard base, people will essentially like score it up or whatever. And that will be like, hey, you get more progression from that. They had a few extra pieces like a champion outpost. If your base is like lauded as like one of the best bases, he'll be on the top of the list of the champion outposts. So, you know, that's something I'd look for if I want a great challenge. The more you play, the higher you rank and so forth. But as far as building features, I think what they did right, and I haven't played it, but just looking at what the devs have said, it looks like they've really paid attention to quality of life. Because what Josh was just saying, like a lot of building we do in like Rust or Atlas or Ark, Conan Exiles or whatever, is kind of a pain sometimes, like getting things to line up right, this and that. Well, it looks like they made a lot of quality of life stuff, like just even deleting multiple units at once. If you mess up, you're not having to trash things one at a time, placing several blocks at once, things like that. Like, we've always seen bad building mechanics where it's frustrating. This doesn't seem like it has that, but the thing that really piqued my interest was the behavior, the way Behavior Interactive seems to have thought of all this and made some interactive AI choices that where it's not just guards patrolling your base, but they actually have some AI features. So you can't just go in and learn, like if I'm going to Josh's base, I can't just learn that AI's pattern. I have to watch out for it reacting to me, which adds a little bit more difficulty and challenge. So I'm super excited. Cannot wait to play this game. And this game kind of seems like one of those that might have a lot of staying power, like a game that will last a long time. The more people that play it, the more hyped it's going to get. And it seems like there's no end to it. Like, it doesn't have like, hey, I finished the main storyline, I'm done with this game. Like, there's endless possibilities in what you can do with this.
Yeah, it has the potential for thousands of hours of gameplay if you're into it. If you're any kind of fan of like Mario Maker, it's the exact same idea, except it's 3D and it's a little bit more hardcore in that sense. I do think this is one you're probably going to want to play from release. That way you're learning the mechanics along with everybody else. I did not build my first base yet, but I did raid the initial bases that they present to you. And I gotta say, the most effective way to kill me is to put me on a steep ramp where I am running up. And then as soon as it flattens, it spikes, because I die to those every single time. And finally, I started learning, okay, just jump in the air constantly. That way I can see the floor ahead of me. But yeah, there's some very funny traps that actually made me laugh out loud when I would die. Like, I remember at one point, you know, you kind of start getting used to it. Like, okay, I get it. Those are the things that shoot fire or the spikes. It's kind of like the beginning of Indiana Jones, right? Where all the spikes shoot out into the wall. And then all of a sudden I heard some kind of noise and I hear it coming out of the roof and I look up. And it just rains down like 15 grenades. And I audibly just started laughing because I knew I was already dead. But this is actually the kind of game where when you die, it's actually fun and funny. And it's just part of the progression. It's so rare to have a game where you actually enjoy dying. And this one actually did that to me. It's very fun.
It really is. I like that there's not a lot of punishment. You can just instantly try to restart raiding this base again. It puts you right out front. I do, because we had so many questions leading into this. How are they going to keep this fair? How are they going to keep it from people from cheesing things? So on and so forth. You realize it right away because you get this gun that slings out like this rebar bolt type thing, but you have two shots.
Yeah.
You have basically two bolts. And that's it. And you have to go recover your ammo. And so I think that comes into play a lot, because I was doing one base where I had to shoot these two guys, but then there were traps and I didn't have any ammo to shoot the traps to destroy those. And that's when I started to see, like, they've really thought about a lot of stuff here. Now, there is progression as you get genetic material. You upgrade these, like, five different advisors that you have that focus on, you know, your base or your weapons or your traps or your gear, and things like that. So I do see a lot of longevity here, provided you don't get tired of the gameplay loop. And I think that the creativity with people's bases is what's going to keep that going.
Yeah, totally agree. This one we have on the schedule for deep dive as well. So right now it's scheduled to release on April 4th, which is not very far away.
No.
I hope this one starts to gain a little bit more steam, and I think this one's going to be a blast. All right, well, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with more Multiplayer Gaming Podcast.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Okay, we are back. Moving on to our next story of the week. Let's talk a little bit about The Day Before. So this is a survival zombie game that maybe we've mentioned two or three times on the show. We haven't talked about it a whole lot. This was one of the biggest hyped games that I've ever seen that has really fallen from grace. I picked this when we did our preview of 2023 as the game most likely to tank and disappoint and be a complete flop. Well, this week, for better or worse, we did get a gameplay trailer on IGN's YouTube channel. We got to see a full 10 minutes of gameplay, and I'm very curious to hear your guys' take on how you feel about the prospects of The Day Before.
I can say that they did pick an interesting part of the game to do 10 minutes on, because I feel like nothing happened in those 10 minutes.
Because nothing happened in those 10 minutes.
They walked. They walked and they looted stuff.
They looked at some menus.
Yeah, so I'll give a quick pro, cons, and neutrals for this, because I don't have a whole lot to say about it, except, like, I thought the graphics looked fantastic. I looked at the water, and, like, the water reflections were really nice. It looked crisp. It looked like something that if you blur your eyes a little bit looks real, which is a great thing to say about a video game. Cons, though, like, literally every single thing that you're looting, you have to hold the F button for 3 seconds while the little thing goes around. Like, just let me hit F and loot the thing. And then, of course, the fact that it looked super boring, because, like, is this game just empty? There's not a lot of stuff to kill. Like, it's like, I think they killed 2 or 3 zombies in this 10-minute thing. The rest of it was kind of in my neutral territory, which nothing really looks, like, spectacular or different in this game. Like, we saw them customizing a gun, the same thing you can do in many games. We saw them pick an outfit. That's really about all I have to say about it.
I think this game looks terrible. I'm not going to lie. There was recent news. I don't think we got to cover it. It was a story that we didn't get to, but they delayed this game until November because they forgot to copyright the name.
That was part of it, yeah.
And somebody else said, ooh, I'm copywriting this, and then they couldn't get the name from that person, so then they just delayed it till November, which didn't make a lot of sense. There's a lot of bad things going on with this game right now. I actually just saw a Reddit thread where somebody said, hey, they completely ripped off Call of Duty, like the zombie trailer. And it is almost shot for shot, like the exact same. Now, the people look slightly different, but literally the pacing and the framing and everything looks almost identical. So, you know, I think that there is some stuff going on, you know, with the development, things like that. But this trailer, it should be said that this is a zombie survival open world MMO, is kind of how they're phrasing this. Like, it is an MMO. You are playing with other people. You will come across them in the world. They will try to kill you or not. But, you know, that's kind of the premise of this game. So because they took all this bad publicity from delaying the game because they forgot to copyright their name, they said, oh, well, we better release gameplay. And then this gameplay is terrible.
They should not have, like, released gameplay.
They should not. It backfired big time. Like, I know what they were trying to do is to try to tell people, like, don't worry, we do have a game. But, like, there's so many things wrong with this, man. Like, the graphics are fine. But then, like, it's a zombie game. So they show somebody, they round this corner, and there's, like, 3 or 4 zombies. And the zombies go, And then 2 seconds later, they hunch down and then they go, arr! And it almost looks like they're about to run at you, but they give you like a solid seven seconds to like, oh, look, guys, there's zombies over there. We better shoot them before they start charging at us. Don't worry. They haven't started charging yet. Boom, boom, boom. The zombie's dead. And it's like, you gotta speed this up, man.
Right. And the fact that most of the game trailer was walking down a street.
Yeah, it was walking down a street. It was press F to loot this purse. And when we say press F to loot it, we're talking a full 3 seconds for the little progress bar to circle around to then you can see what's inside this purse.
Like, that is annoying, man.
Yeah. To waste time. That's why.
I would say that during that time, I'm going to think of how many four-letter words with the letter F I can spell in that 3 seconds.
I just... This is what's baffling to me, because this game is getting so much press and so much attention. It's negative attention, but press is press, right? And here we are, we're talking about this game. I don't understand why. There's nothing like redeeming looking about this game at all. So like, why is it on the gaming news sites? You know, here we are talking about it because it's fun to troll these guys. But I just don't understand where the level of hype for this game came from initially. And why is it still kind of around, even though it's all negative at this point?
Well, if you go back and watch all the initial trailers, it looks like the most amazing zombie game ever made. And people go crazy about zombie survival games. When they're done well, they can be incredibly fun and heart-pumping and action-filled. And releasing a gameplay trailer like this, where there's no zombies in a zombie game... The fact that not only does looting take 3 seconds, drinking a juice box takes apparently 5 seconds in this game. I could not believe that out of a 10-minute trailer, I looked at the timestamps from the 1:15 mark to 3-minute mark. So almost 2 full minutes out of the 10 are spent just scrolling through crafting options.
Yeah.
So to call it a gameplay trailer and 75 seconds in, we're already just scrolling through menus, does not make me very confident. Everything that we've seen before is apparently incredibly scripted and a misrepresentation of the actual game. If they were able to cherry pick any 10 minutes of footage and this is what they picked, we're in for a lot of trouble.
It's not bad.
Why the name brand parodies? That apparently is the only creativity in this entire game, where you can craft Tylenol instead of Tylenol. Like, everything in this game is some kind of parody on another brand. There was no explanation of what these people were doing. There's no indication of a quest or if they're going somewhere. I'm just going to share one last thing and then we'll move on to our last story of the week. I copied down 3 of my favorite YouTube comments. All right. I think you guys will appreciate these. I don't know if you scrolled through them at all. User Alex, AL3X, this is what he shared. A novel game concept. The whole game set the day before anything interesting happens. All right. I liked that. another person named Meat Hands commented, I'm so excited for this game. The whole walking mechanic is really innovative. So you can kind of get a sense of how everyone's feeling about it. Last one I have here is from Nick Flyer. Oh, wow. That was a whole bunch of literally nothing. I'm impressed. No other game has ever wasted my time with such stunning efficiency. This one's probably a stay away, guys. I don't think we're getting on the hype train.
I mean, unless we see something drastic. When was this game supposed to release? Wasn't it like last in the year? Next month or two?
Yeah, it was pretty early on. I think it got delayed like a good full 6 months, something like that. I think it was set for this summer.
Recently that it's a 9-month delay because, like I said, they moved it back to like November of 2023. This is weird to me because I don't know if, Paul, did you ever play Miscreated with us? These zombie survival games are a dime a dozen, man. Yeah. You know, and it's like, unless you have something that really stands out, I don't know what makes people keep trying to make these. I mean, they can be fun. You know, we played, what was it that we played? DayZ? WarZ? What was the
War
one?
Z, the WarZ. Which they had to change the name later.
Yeah, we played Miscreated. Like, we've played some of these and they can be enjoyable. I just don't know where... Like, these poor people, man. I honestly feel bad for the devs on this because, number one, they don't seem like they have their act together, because how do you forget to trademark your name?
Right.
That's a little
odd. You
know
what I mean? Like, that's a little odd. You're making a game that doesn't really have any substance to it. Like, yes, your animations look good, your graphics look good, but that does not a game make at the same time.
why are there no corpses? Why are there no hordes of zombies? Like, that's all missing from a zombie game. I don't get it. All right. Well, in the closing couple minutes here, let's talk a little bit about Atomic Heart, which I think we're all a little bit more enthusiastic about. So similarly, Atomic Heart also released a gameplay overview trailer. This one came courtesy of Xbox. I think it provided a little bit that we didn't know about Atomic Heart. A lot of the video footage is already stuff that we've seen before, but we got a little bit more narration. Is there anything that they shared gameplay wise that you're a little bit more excited about that we didn't know previously?
Everything. Yeah. I'm excited about everything at this point. I tried to resist the Atomic Heart hype train. I failed miserably, to be honest with you. I see so many people. I've been following like people's thoughts on this, and I read comment sections on some of the gameplay reveals and Reddit and stuff like that. And there's so many people like, I'm staying away from this game. It was in development hell for a long time, and it's you know, it's a Russia made game, so I'm not playing it. You know, and it's like, okay, I mean, you do you, that's fine. But like, everything that we have seen from all of these trailers looks legit. Right. And normally I'd say, but people are handcrafting these trailers and you can show me what you want, but that's not really the game, you know? But then we've had gaming sites that have said, hey, I got hands-on preview. This game's legit. I can't wait to play more. Is it perfect? No, but not many games are, you know? And so, but when you have gamers that are getting their hands on it and saying, I actually really liked what I got to play, I think that goes beyond just the finely crafted trailers on this. And now we're close enough to the release that they're actually talking about gameplay elements. I love the fact that they mentioned it's a 25-hour game.
Like, which really means it's probably 15 to 18 hours.
Exactly. Right. You can wander around, but that's fine for a first-person shooter story-based
game.
Not bad. 15 hours is fine.
It's kind of what I want, really, honestly.
Yeah. You know, they talked about the weird little thing coming out of the guy's hand. They gave it a name. It's, you know, they it's spelled like Charles, but it's just Charles. It's just, they put a space in there, which I thought was weird. I mean, they really showed off a lot of what the inner workings are. Like, for instance, we've always seen the melee weapons in Atomic Heart, right? Like, if I have a machine gun, why am I smashing something with an axe? Like, that doesn't make a lot of sense. And they explain it. You use melee weapons to build up charge so that you can use your stronger weapons. Like, that's a really neat kind of balance mechanic at that point.
Yeah, that's what I like about it is we thought about it early on. I think one of us might have even mentioned it. Like, why would you use a whole bunch of melee weapons unless you have to if you've got range weapons? Oh, because of the balance. Like, they're forcing you to use the melee weapons to charge up your energy. That's great. A couple things that I took away from this was mostly just, again, in the narrative. Like, I didn't see anything new on gameplay because I don't think there was anything new. But first of all, we don't get to play enough games in 1950s alternate universe USSR. So thank you for that. One thing I didn't realize, I thought that this was a post-apocalyptic game. Like, the robots had already trashed the entire Earth and were just there kind of trying to survive. But it turns out, no, the actual story is you're an investigator who's sent to the robot facility, I think it's facility 2836, to see what happened and maybe trying to contain the spread of this rogue AI or whatever's happening with the game, which is interesting. So the fact that it's not post-apocalyptic, because I think we've gotten so much of that, and like, obviously Fallout does it really well, and very similar with like the automatrons and stuff like that, is really cool. But also, you're not just fighting robots. You're fighting things called sprouts, which can mutate bodies that are dead. They're like these plants that do that. You have these fleishes. I don't know what I heard it a million times. I spelled it. But they're big, nasty-looking like blood demons that summon sprouts and so forth. So they're kind of like the big, nasty boss. They're not bosses, but harder things that you have around. I just think that overall, like, I've got more of the story. I've got more of like why certain elements of gameplay are in there. The game still looks great. Like, the graphics look nice. I like it. And also, we got flying cars in 1955. Take that, Back to the Future.
Yeah, I like that we got to see a lot of like aerial footage, whether you're on what they call the aero train, which is like a monorail, or driving in the cars. I like the whole idea that there's travel by air and by land. I don't know that I knew puzzles were in the game to the extent that they seem to be. They did mention spatial puzzles, and you see them like flipping things in the world and rearranging things on the ground. So the fact that we have all that combined really does have me excited. And I definitely chuckled at the one melee weapon that had like an airplane propeller on the front. I don't know if you guys saw that. And he's just charging to giant groups of enemies. And I was like, oh, man, this is great. I feel like this game has a very unique vibe. this is not like any game I've ever seen. I know people want to compare it to BioShock. It's a tiny bit BioShock, but this is its own new thing that I think is going to feel very, very fresh. Are we all on the hype train for Atomic Heart?
Oh, yeah.
I am.
All aboard!
Choo-choo, baby, because I've tried to resist. I just... I don't see how this... Like, how does this game flop at this point? Right? Like, does the combat suck? Like, I don't see
people
that. We've seen enough of the gameplay footage. Is the world just boring? Like, yes, there's robots and there's these things, but you just don't care. Like, that's honestly, at this point, the only way that I could see this game flopping is to where it's like, I don't care about the story. I don't care about these facilities. I don't know why I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm just running around shooting robots. But then it's like, well, but it still looks like a good first-person shooter.
Technical issues is the only reason it could flop. If it goes Callisto Protocol where you just can't run it, that's the only way I could see it flop. Otherwise, I think this game's going to do quite well.
I hope so.
Yeah. All right, guys, so much fun stuff to talk about. I can't believe we're out of time. I feel like we could easily go another half hour on all this stuff. But that does wrap everything up here for this episode. So as a reminder, please go check out our Patreon page to unlock those bonus episodes at multiplayersquad.com. And also come toss us a follow on socials everywhere at multiplayerpod. Make sure to come back and check out our quick take episode on Saturday. And then on Monday, we will do our long awaited deep dive of Forspoken. I think that's going to be a fun episode because I think we're going to have a lot of hot takes, a lot of strong opinions. I think that one's going to be really fun to talk about. So please make sure to check those out.
Certainly promises to be very divisive.
We'll see. I'm very divisive within my own head about that game. So I think some things are awesome and some things are just completely awful. I think it'll be a lot of fun to talk about. All right. Well, until next time, guys, happy gaming.
Ah, cheers be to all of ye. Sorry, you threw me off because you like went slower.
I was waiting on Michael. I'm like, Michael, this is you. This is where you say goodbye to everybody. And normally, then I can't say goodbye until Michael says goodbye. And Michael was just sitting there, and I'm like, dude, what's happening?
I was like, I'm standing on the road at night. I'm a deer. There's headlights coming. What do I do?
I know what I do. I say, bye, everybody.
See y'all later.
Bye.